Speaking of a different world, actually, I saw someone point out that Blockbuster's Twitter account tweeted for the first time in 6 years today.
Just checking in or something?
Yeah, just wrote in, like, just checking in, how's everybody doing? And it caused a huge stir because there's one Blockbuster left in the world.
Really?
One. In a little town called Bend, Oregon. Bend,
how could it still be functioning?
I have no idea. I would assume it's got someone who inherited it. They've got money, and they said, just for you-know-what and giggles, we're going to keep it open. And a couple of the locals, they still have VCRs, and they come in, and they support us. It's a part of their routine.
There must be some creepazoid flicks in that place.
I know you guys aren't South Park fans.
Over.
I know you guys aren't South Park fans, but there is a South Park episode where Randy Marsh buys a Blockbuster. It is one of the all-time greats because he just starts losing his mind because no one goes in. Like, it just, they're done. Like, you talk about trying to have a conversation with an 18-year-old right now and saying you used to go to Blockbuster 25 years ago. They'd think you were crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
True.
They wouldn't even understand the reference.
Hey, we all went to Blockbuster.
Everybody
we're old
did.
Enough to know.
Jumbo Video, Video Flicks. There's a bunch of great ones in Toronto.
I guarantee. I know we got to get Craig on because I'm going to ask Craig about his Blockbuster experiences. But I'll tell you, I used to get so frustrated when you didn't rewind and they try and charge you.
Oh, yeah.
Fight with people behind
so
the counter.
Greasy.
I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you rewind. Know? It's your movie.
Exactly.
You get popcorn, walk around with popcorn. There'd be popcorn all over the floor. Kids' greasy mitts in there, sticking their face in and eating it right out. It was crazy. All right, joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here is TSN's scout, former GM, hockey analyst, good friend of the show, Craig Button. What's happening, CB?
Not much. Speaking, so you're talking about Oregon. I don't know if you guys have watched on Netflix, which unseated Blockbuster. Can you imagine going into Blockbuster today? Like, they'd have to wipe down everything, like, continuously. They couldn't stop wiping down everything before you could touch anything.
Right.
That's
store.
True.
Right? Wouldn't that be, like, I mean, every DVD, whatever, the candy and everything, you're right about the kids. Like, they wouldn't be able to stay open. But have you guys seen the documentary Wild Wild Country?
No, haven't.
It's
no.
A true story. It's Rajneesh Puram. It was a cult that ended up going to this small town in Oregon.
I saw it. It was crazy.
Yeah.
The guy was the yoga guy, right? Like, yeah, I saw that. That guy's a crook. It was crazy.
Yeah. The whole thing, they're still going. But, you know, Bill, the founder of Nike, his son owned property there, right in that area, right? And, Bill Bowerman. Right, his son was in that place, but it was nuts.
Wow.
So when you were talking about Oregon, I started thinking about Wild Wild Country. It was pretty.
I got to check that out.
Yeah, it
is. I got to look that up.
It's crazy. This guy was like something else.
Oh,
like,
well,
you
mentioned too Netflix. I'm pretty sure Blockbuster had the opportunity to buy Netflix back in the day, and they scoffed at it, just like Yahoo did with Google. Like, that's one of the all-time famous ones. Google, I think, went to Yahoo when Yahoo was, like, the go-to search engine and said, you know, you could buy us for $1 million. And Yahoo said, no chance. You're not worth $1 million. And now Yahoo is no one uses it. And Google is one of the four or five biggest countries in the world.
So just true.
A swing and a miss on that.
Yeah, same thing with Blockbuster. Like, you know, and it is funny when you talk about, like, different things, like, about Blockbuster that today's kids will go, what?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you went and rented movies where? At a store?
It was a go-to thing. It was great.
Yeah.
Friday nights, you'd walk around there for an hour picking out a movie or two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure.
Awesome. So tomorrow, Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas are going to speak with the media. I guess we'll go with Dubas. You know, as a former GM yourself, Craig, coming off a disappointing season, clearly. I think they have taken a step back over the past year or two compared to where they were. And he's the GM of the team. What are you hoping to hear, or what would you like to hear from Kyle Dubas tomorrow afternoon?
Okay, so I'm going to share a story with you. So it was my first year in Calgary, and our president at the time was having president's breakfast. So he'd invite season ticket holders, probably about 35, 40, and it was called the president's breakfast. And they would come in at 7 a.m. in the morning. We'd serve them up breakfast and have a little chat, a little back and forth. And, you know, so I was going to come in this one morning. So the night previous, we're playing in Edmonton, and we are getting our butts kicked. So, I mean, the charter's there. I turned to, I forget who I turned to, because they had the municipal airport in Edmonton at that time. I said, listen, I'm just going to fly home on the night flight, talk to you guys in the morning, let me know if there's any injuries. So I fly home, you know, get up in the morning, go over to the president's breakfast. Tommy Abilene wasn't playing. So he was at the breakfast, too. So, you know, you have the president and the chief marketing guy. They're in the front. They're leading this. And there's 40 people in the room, and they're talking. And we're going through this for about, I don't know, 45 minutes, an hour. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm listening, and I'm just kind of going, my Lord, have they drugged the orange juice and, you know, put, like, Valium? Everybody's so calm. Finally, I throw out my arm. I just throw out my arm. Well, everybody can see I have my arm up. And so I say to the group, I said, I just have one question. Is anybody as pissed off as I am about getting our asses kicked by the Edmonton Oilers last night? It opened up for 2 hours.
Right.
The fans were pissed, and they got a chance to speak, right? And until you start to say, we're not going to accept losing, and we're not happy about it, and we're not going to tolerate it, and we're not going to make excuses, that's what I expect. And if they're not going to do that, then don't even bother with it.
Right. Well, that's great and everything, Craig, but what everybody says that, well, it's unacceptable. What kind of action do they put in place? Like, do they sit down immediately in a boardroom tomorrow when this presser's over and say, here's what's got to happen? Do they let it breathe for 2 weeks, or do they say, we need this, we need that, or do they got to comb over the video? Like, what the hell is the game plan?
Okay, so, I mean, and that's fair, but, like, I'm just saying what I expect tomorrow. I don't want to hear about we were unlucky or we believe in our process
puck
and everything.
Puck luck and all that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear any of that, right? Like, you know what? You're the eighth team in the Eastern Conference. So, Jeff, here's what I'm going to say to you. Tomorrow, the day after that, the day after that, they better be working every single day. They just had 4 months off to figure out what was good and what was bad. You know what? A two-week moratorium? Give me a break. They better get after it, and they better be on it every single day, because if they think that where they're at, okay, is something that's going to lead them miraculously out of the wilderness, they're just like the people that get lost in the woods. They think they're moving, and they find out that they're not getting any closer to getting out of the woods. They're just getting deeper in. And that's what the Leafs better be doing every single day.
Well, that I believe has to be the approach as well, but they don't have a first-round pick this year, and they have very limited cap room. So how do they change? How do you make drastic changes with very little cap room and your best collateral to maybe make a trade not available to you? How do you go about business with those two considerations?
Well, I guess Brian, like I'm gonna kind of be tongue in cheek here. Well, I guess without a first round draft pick and cap space, you just throw up your arms and say you can't do anything. Well, that's not acceptable either. Those are the constraints that they put on themselves.
Right.
So what you don't get to now look at things? Jamie, you know this. You know this having worked for Daryl Sutter. One of the things I learned from Daryl Sutter is you got to try to improve every single day. I learned it from Bob Clark, too. It doesn't mean that the steps you take one day are going to be as big as the ones you might want to take, but improvements, little improvements are improvements. And so that's what you got to be doing. Upgrades are upgrades. So it's not about making a drastic change. It's about making changes that will have a material impact on your team, that will allow you to get better. Jamie, you were on the team in 03, 04 at the beginning of that year. You know, you think about Chris Simon came in. So Chris Simon came into the team. Krzysztof Oluwa came into the team, right? So, and I'm not saying that those are the types of players that the Leafs need, right? But you would sit down and go, well, geez, like, you know, were they big players? No, but they were important for the way Daryl wanted the team to play, and they improved the team. So, you know what? There's a lot of different ways to improve the team, Brian. But to just say it's got to be drastic or you got to trade one of the core pieces or whatnot, no. Identify what your issues are, and then try to find solutions for them. And the solution doesn't have to be splashy. It doesn't have to be big. But if you're working to improve those areas and you're working diligently, that's why I said, you don't get to take a day off. You're sorry. You had your days off. And you've got to be working at that every single day to be trying to affect change in a positive way, big, medium, or small.
Craig, I've heard this over the last couple of days, and I know there's frustration, especially in this market, but you know, Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas couldn't be polar opposite as far as the way that, I mean, you know, Shanny's a Hall of Fame hockey player. Kyle Dubas is a very bright executive. You know, everyone talks about his analytical approach, but I think he understands that there's so many things else that come into building a team. Where I'm heading is do you think Brendan Shanahan and Kyle Dubas, and it's all right not to be on the same page on everything, but do you think the common philosophy may change a little bit? I think there's people saying, like, it must be eating Shanny to watch this team get pushed out of games or pushed around a little bit, where all I can think about is a guy like Cam Neely, and you see him almost crawling out of the skybox when his team is not producing. You know, the camera goes to Shanny sometimes, and he's a very poised guy. But at some point, don't you think that Shanny would want to impose some of, I guess, his personality, some of the way that he played on this group? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does make sense. And you know the way Brendan played. He played with skill. He played with power. You know,
right.
He wasn't afraid to push himself onto others, and you know, whether it be a cross check or a fight or whatnot. He could do it all. We know that, right? But, you know, I also think that Brendan understands that, you know, okay, we're trying to move along a path, right? So they've acquired some skill. Now, I don't think the key thing here is about whether you have the same exact philosophies. It's about understanding what allows you to get there. So Kyle, with his approach and his understanding, Brendan with his approach and his understanding and experience, I think that can be melded together. You know, when I think about the Detroit Red Wings, and I keep going back to the Detroit Red Wings, Jamie, and in the early 90s, they had tons of skill, and they kept getting bounced, and they kept getting bounced. And then, you know, they made some changes, and, you know, they came in, and Draper and Maltby and Darren McCarty and Marty Lapointe became really more significant for balancing out that roster. But, I mean, they had Ray Shepard, and they had Dino Cicerelli and Paul Eisenbart. They had high-end skill players, and then they understood what they had to do to become a little bit more difficult to play against in all situations. I think that's the key. It's not just about being offensive, but you've got to be able to play in the different situations that the game calls upon you to play in. And I think that's where I look for balance in a team. And, you know, it would be nice if everybody could have four lines of skill, but the salary cap doesn't afford you that. So you have to find different ways to fill out your roster with players that can excel in those different spots in the lineup and can carry play and contribute in significant ways, all while not always on the score sheet.
Craig, you just mentioned Detroit and how year after year they kind of bounced back and they came back with something different. And they stayed in the fight for a long time. They didn't just pack it in and say, well, maybe we weren't designed to win. I like that point. And as far as the Leafs, do you think the philosophy is going to be, we still believe that this group of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, like, we're going to keep hitting it with that, or do you got to make a change? How long do you keep saying, this is our group going forward, or when do you say, we have to tinker with that?
Well, you know, Jeff, you were in Hartford when the big trade happened. You know, when Brendan Shanahan went to the Detroit Red Wings for Keith Primo. Keith Primo was the third overall pick. And it wasn't that Keith Primo wasn't a good player for the Detroit Red Wings, but they wanted something different. And when the opportunity came, they acted. So what I would say to that, I don't think you have to go in with a preconceived idea whether somebody can do it or can't do it, or you got to trade this guy or whatnot. It's understanding, okay, what could we use? What could help our team in this area? And that's where I say the evaluation, day in, day out, the discussions back and forth have to carry on, because Keith Primo was a good player, but Brendan was different than him, and they felt they needed that more. So when the opportunity came, they made that change. So when I say you got to explore your opportunities, big, small, medium, that's what you have to do. And then, like, if you see something like where you can get, in the case of Brendan Shanahan, they go, well, it'll take Keith Primo. Well, then you make that decision. I don't think you go into it ahead of time. You understand what's available at any point in time. And then you ask yourself, are we prepared to act on this? So that's the way I would approach it. That's the way I would look at it. And, you know, there's a lot of opportunity out there, known and unknown. like Kyle Dubas knows some opportunities, but there's some opportunities that he doesn't know yet. So that's where you got to be a little bit cognizant. You know, more teams get knocked out of the playoffs. What does that mean? What kind of opportunities open up? But you got to be ready when they present themselves. Detroit was.
Well, we'll leave it there. We'll see what comes out of it tomorrow. And now that the first round of the playoffs are officially ongoing, we'll start talking more about the games and the outcomes and the results. But we're glad you could come on and give us your take on the Leafs and what we can kind of gear up for tomorrow. We'll do it again soon. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
There's Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst, resident scout and GM, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. The showroom is open. They're taking all the necessary steps to provide a safe environment for every guest. Visit Maple Toyota right next to Wonderland or buy online at MapleToyota.com. I don't expect a ton of emotion out of the three guys tomorrow, Shanahan, Keith, Dubas. That's not generally their MO.
No.
I don't think they're going to be yelling and screaming or looking to pick fights with people asking them questions or something. I think they'll be fairly composed, and they're going to say they're disappointed. They're going to say they have decisions to make. I do think they likely will say they still believe they have the right core here, and that they believe in the core and they believe in, you know, certain players. They're not going to name the whole roster. That would be silly. The whole roster,
right.
You can't have faith in the whole roster, and the whole roster isn't going to stay. But Matthews, Marner, Tavares, Nylander, I think, Riley, Freddie Anderson, we'll see. We'll see what they have to say about Freddie tomorrow. But beyond that, you know, we'll see what else they have in mind. But they've got skill. They've got talent, but they need more. And I'm sure they're aware of that. They need more depth. They need better defense. They need more commitment to a certain style of play that wins in the playoffs, and it has for 100 years. This isn't anything new.
Right.
But it's not.
Personnel is tied in with style, though, Brian. You know that.
Yeah. Like who you have and how they play. That's
you know what's funny? I got to be honest, and this may not sound right, and I'm trying to say it respectfully, but when Travis Green was like, yeah, we got some young players that are humble, that doesn't apply here in Toronto.
No, they're not humble here. No, they're not. They believe they're pretty cocky, and they believe they can flip a switch and.
Yeah, good on them. Like, you know what? It's nice to have edge. It's nice to have confidence. You know, I respect that. But I also, I think with a layer of humbleness comes, you know,
I think there's
coachability.
A middle ground. There's a middle ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's also, I kind of hope happens here with the if there is going to be a learning experience, is that it dawns on these guys, like, we haven't accomplished anything. Like,
right.
They haven't accomplished anything. They haven't won a playoff round. So you got your contracts, and you've put up big points, and you're talented, and you're fun to play, and fun to watch play, and then people buy your jerseys, and you got a lot of support, but you haven't accomplished anything.
Well, so, and it's almost like regular season Leafs and playoff Leafs, and those two, they have to migrate together because realistically, regular season, we don't worry about that group. You know, they're down a couple, no problem. Go and score. They can do that. Like, regular season is a step down. Playoff Leafs is a lot different, and that's where I think Kyle and Brendan have to assess, with this group moving forward, what needs tinkering so that the playoff Leafs match a lot more of regular season Leafs. And who they're going to trust to have that success in the playoffs. Because this group, you know, for the most part, Brian, you pointed it out, that's four shots at it, you know, and you're young enough to have a lot more or plenty more, but you know it gets old what is the definition of insanity, going at it the same thing, trying the same thing over and over,
continuing to do the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result.
Yeah,
no, exactly like that. And even John Tavares, I don't believe Tavares has ever won a playoff round. I don't think the Islanders ever did when he was there. Maybe they won one round, but I don't think so.
Like, right, I thought they beat Florida. I thought he scored the overtime winner. Did
okay, maybe they did. Maybe
yeah,
he's got
did.
One. Okay, yeah. So he's got one. Still, he's been in the league for, 11 years?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
10 or 11 years, he's got one playoff round win. I got to think he's salivating.
For sure.
Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Kapanen, Riley, nothing, right?
Right.
Like, so hopefully it, I don't know if humbles them is the proper terminology, but it allows for some self-awareness that
grounds.
They've got to push a lot harder, and they've got to find a way to make this work, and they're going to need some help.
Yep.
You know, it's not all on four or five players. Clearly, it can't be. That's a losing formula before you even start.